This is episode 124 of Extraordinary Women Radio.
Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I am just back from Italy and a fabulous trip with my hubby, Tim. We had a blast exploring the streets of Rome, seeing the sights, and we made our way up into wine country near Florence. It's always so good to get back to Europe. And today I'm feeling really fresh and inspired and ready to dig back into all that's here at home. Extraordinary Women Ignite is only a month away, and it's going to be held in Golden, Colorado, November 7th through 9th. This is the event if you're ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business in 2020. I have an amazing lineup of speakers, and we'll be sharing my best teachings on building your business from the inside out, aligned to who you are. You can still get early bird tickets at CamiGilner.com, so jump over there and join us. For at the foot of the mountains in historic downtown Golden, Colorado, you'll fan the flame of wild success for your business. It's my fifth year of doing this event, and what I know is this. Many women have left this event to create big changes in their lives and their business. They have stepped up more courageously with more clarity and more purpose. They have grown their businesses significantly. And for me, this is important because it's about the ripple effect of the women who have attended Ignite impacting their own communities. They are change makers, and I am proud to have played a part in the journey. If 2020 is the year you're ready to raise up your impact, I hope you will join us. I can promise a room full of extraordinary women, and they'll all be doing big things in 2020. Last month, I was a guest on Laura Chiatel's Build Your Dreams podcast, and I'm thrilled to have her here today on Extraordinary Women Radio. Laura is a former attorney turned burlesque dancer, author, speaker, and life choreographer extraordinaire. She empowers high-achieving women to reveal their smart, sexy, spiritual selves so that they can fall in love with their bodies, themselves, and their lives, and enjoy everything they've worked so hard to create. Through her five steps of flaunt, she helps choreograph a journey that allows you to release self-judgment, shame, and overwhelm, and uncover the power, the beauty, and the joy within, all with a wink and a smile. Her soon-to-be-released book, Flaunt, Drop Your Cover and Reveal Your Smart, Sexy, and Spiritual Self, will teach you how to find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth. Let's meet Laura Chiatel, the author of Flaunt, Drop Your Cover and Reveal Your Smart, Sexy, and Spiritual Self. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Laura.
Thank you so much, Cami. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, and it was such an honor to be interviewed on your podcast, Build Your Dreams.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to find extraordinary women to connect with.
It's always fun to find extraordinary women to connect with, and I'm excited to tell your story today. So let's just dig in, because I know you are a former corporate attorney who walked away from the practice of law to live into your passion. So I love stories of transition. Let's start there.
That sounds wonderful. I practiced law for about 10 years before I left. And I never want to say that I had a bad experience. I didn't. I really enjoyed practicing law. For the most part, I loved the people that I worked with. I loved the research. I loved everything about it. It's just that I felt that I was unable to expose the fullness of who I was in that environment. I spent some time in an insurance defense law firm before going in-house, and in both environments, I felt very judged for who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am naturally an overly enthusiastic person, but I found that there was this belief that I couldn't be perky and bouncy and happy and intelligent at the same time.
So you were being asked to kind of turn, or you maybe sensed that you needed to turn down your dial, and you did not want that dial turned down.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. So I decided to leave, and there were a lot of contributing factors to that. I felt it was difficult to stay in that kind of environment. It made me a little bit more sad. It made me just not me. And it's hard to describe. It's not that I had this catastrophic health crisis or that I had anything happen. It's just that it was wearing me down.
And what I'm like about this story is so often that people do have a, you know, something that is really not a good circumstance, but you were listening to your inner wisdom that was saying that you weren't showing up in all of your possibilities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And coupled with that, I had recently had my second child, and I just kept thinking, this isn't how I want to live my life. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not what I want to do. It's not me.
So how'd you make the leap?
It was a little scary.
Yes, of course, right? you're an attorney and you're like, okay, I'm going to go do something different. What was the leap like?
Yeah, the leap was interesting because I mulled it over for a long time. And then literally one day I went into work, I walked into, you know, my senior partner's office, and I said, you know what? I really feel like my kids' lives are really important and that I'm not very connected to them the way that I'm working here. And I really appreciate everything you've done, but I think I'm going to leave. Literally. That's what I did.
Very good. And did you know what you were going to do then?
I had no idea.
Okay. So how'd that come about? How did you figure out? I mean, because that always can be such a deep, soulful journey to figure out what it is you're meant to be doing in the world.
Right. Now, I grew up as a dancer. I danced with Colorado Ballet. I danced in all my high school musicals. I was a pom-pom both in high school and college. And as an adult, I started teaching aerobics. Aerobics was kind of the thing. So I would always teach, yeah, group exercise.
Yep.
Yep. And it sounds funny, but I thought, I'll stay home from work and I can go back to teaching fitness because I loved that and I needed to get my body back in shape after having kids and sitting at a desk for 10 years. So kind of default plan was, I'm just going to hang out and teach dance and fitness for a while and see what happens. Now, what was beautiful about that is it also gave me the time to step back from that constant drive and to explore some of the things that I had always been interested in but didn't have the chance to delve into, such as energy healing and yoga and the chakras and, you know, all that metaphysical, yummy, wonderful stuff.
Nice, nice. And that's when you start to get into your body like that, you can start to see things in such a different way, can't you?
Yes, you really can. And it was funny because 2 years after I left work, I actually went back to school and I got, don't laugh, an associate's degree in hypnotherapy because 2 years of studying and dancing and working out and sitting under the tree with my kids meditating really made me fall in love with the brain and the way the brain functions.
Yeah, and there's no laughter coming from me because I know how powerful that can really be. I mean, it's that kind of work can just take us into a different zone and let what wants to flow through us flow through us.
Oh my goodness, yes, yes. And you know, hypnotherapy sometimes with some people gets kind of a bad rap, but it's incredibly powerful. And I was blown away with the power of the mind and the body and the spirit and how stepping back from being this, you know, big time corporate attorney really allowed me to get back into my body and into my mind and into myself.
So you went from that very linear way of being as a lawyer to really embodying this brilliant you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you move into the next phase of starting your business then?
What was so nice about that is it was a gentle transition for me.
It sounds like it. Yeah, it sounds like a really beautiful transition.
It really was. And yes, I needed money. Money is a good thing. But I wasn't on my own paying the bills. I had saved up. I still was making some money. There was no pressure. And I like to experiment. So I could take some of these things that I had learned in hypnotherapy, that I had learned about the energy systems and yoga and chakras and the body, and I could just play with people. And I would call people that I used to work with and I'd say, how are you feeling? Can you come over and we can just like have this energy healing play session? And we can just...
What a gift to them, right?
Oh, yes. And I would literally play with women, and we would dance and we would cry and we would move, and they would bring me their problems, and I would say, because I wasn't charging them at the beginning, I don't know, let me go figure that out. And one of the things I loved about being a lawyer was researching. So then I would dive into this juicy, delicious research, and I'd come up with this, you know, solutions, and then we would try it out. And then another woman would come and I'd say, aha, I just did this. Let's try it with you too and see if it worked. So it built organically through people bringing me issues and through me saying, I don't know, let's figure that out. And then looking everywhere for the answers.
Yeah. And you know what else I think is really beautiful as part of this is I'm certain that all the different practices, all the different ways of working with people and, you know, your ability to be able to put that together in meaningful ways was really universally designed to, you know, take you down your pathway.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, so one of the things that you do that you bring into your work is you dance burlesque and you use burlesque in your work.
Yes.
And I know your new book that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit talks about this, but why burlesque?
Burlesque is so powerful, and it's powerful for several reasons. First of all, there's a long history of burlesque.
Well, and explain burlesque. Explain it, yes, in detail.
Yes, absolutely. A burlesque is a parody. Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream is a burlesque. Okay. A burlesque, what we think about is we might think, oh, it's stripping. It's not. It's a parody. It's an extravaganza. It's something that pokes fun of the status quo. So part of the reason that burlesque developed in the U.S. is we had the Great Depression. There was the upper class who still had some money for some entertainment, and then there was the working man who had no money at all but still wanted entertainment. So burlesque was the common man's form of theater. Mm. And some of the things that they would do is poke fun of the rich upper crust. Mm-hmm. They would poke fun of some of the things that had to do with, like, you know, morality, class, culture, things like that. Today, burlesque still takes those things in our culture that are kind of hypocritical, and it brings them to light in a comical way. Now, is clothing removed in burlesque? Yes, but never to the point of nudity. One of the things that I like to do is explain, you know, breasts. Women have breasts. We are supposed to feed babies with them.
Yes.
In our culture, it's very controversial to nurse in public. Ooh, we don't want to see that.
Oh, that's so crazy too.
It's crazy, but the Victoria's Secret fashion show, yeah, bring it on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So that's one of the things that burlesque will use, the female breast. It's exposing it and it's saying, this is funny. And it's not done in a sexual way. It's done in a teasing way, like, aha, I'm going to show you this. Whoop, you might catch a glimpse of that. Whoop. And it's just playing with that. What is taboo and why is it taboo? And does this really make sense?
And so you leverage the burlesque as a way to open up conversation.
Yes. Yes. And also within us, what are we all hiding? Because we all hide things. Mm. Every day, whether we get up and put on our Spanx, or we put on makeup, or we put on hair dye, whatever it is, we're constantly covering little bits and pieces of ourselves. Mm. And I'm not saying don't do something that makes you feel good. I'm all for doing something that makes you feel good. but realize what it is you're doing and why. Mm. You know, I said that my perky personality and my bounciness was something that I covered when I was practicing law. I covered that. I would pitch down my voice and my level of enthusiasm because I wanted to appear as intelligent as I was.
Mm.
So I covered that.
Right, right. And you think about, so there's just so many things, and I think you've named several of them. It's like, you know, the hair color, the Spanx, all of that. It's like we're playing. It's like when we start to cover things of who we are, we're not sharing all of us.
Right, right. And same thing in the work environment. How many women are concerned about their kids, but they do not want to say, I need to leave right at 5:30 today because there's a school play I want to attend.
Mm-hmm. So in your work with women, how does this help them? What's the breakthrough that happens?
It's funny. Once you start thinking about it, you realize that you're not the only person doing it and that it's humorous. Mm-hmm. And that we're all showing up in the world with different pieces of our personalities covered, with different passions covered. And we're all really pretending to be somebody that we're not doing. It's that whole social media phenomenon. You know, we put out there what we want others to see. And part of we all know that that's true. But right. The breakthrough really comes through the embodiment of that. And in some of the movement and some of the dance-inspired activities that I have women do, for example, when people come in and see me, we'll start looking at their clothes and their jewelry, and we'll go through this exercise of what does that necklace represent? What are you trying to tell somebody about you by putting on that necklace? What was your thinking when you wore that top or put on that belt? And it just, I call it burlesquing your world. It just has women, makes them start looking at what they're wearing and why, and what they're concealing and what they're revealing. And it's not a shame thing, it's a game. And when you think about it like a burlesque performance, and what is the costume, and what are you showing, and who gets to see what, and what's a little glimpse of something, and what are you just stripping out of? It becomes fun, and then the breakthrough happens because we were all little girls, and we all played dress up, and we all understand that.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and I think that you call yourself a life choreographer.
Yes.
Where does this take them?
It's choreographing our life. It's not just setting our career goals or building a happy family or having a good relationship. It's putting together all of the pieces in this joyous, cohesive dance. Because it's my belief we can't be gloriously happy in one area of our life and miserable in the other. We are whole, complete beings, whether we're bodies, minds, spirits, we're also parents, partners, daughters, sisters, mothers. We are everything. And it's choreographing all aspects of our life to embrace who we are with joy and with honesty so we can really build those deep connections and keep ourselves happy and healthy, but most importantly, really in that state of joy that we are who we are and we love who we are.
Nice. I love that. I totally love that. Now, you've got a new book coming out, so congratulations, first of all. Is it coming out October 20th?
Actually, it's November 5th.
November 5th. So, the book is called Flaunt, Drop Your Cover and Reveal Your Smart, Sexy, and Spiritual Self. Let's talk about your book. Let's start with why smart, sexy, and spiritual.
Those are, I think, the three attributes that most women really want to be, mm-hmm. and that the world will not allow us to be. We can be one or the other, but not all of those at the same time.
And that goes right back to that lawyer story, right? It's like where you had to like shut one part of you off and not share that with the world versus just showing up as you.
Yes. And if you look at all the different, I work a lot with the archetypes and stereotypes. There is not an archetype or a stereotype out there for a powerful woman who embodies all three of those characteristics.
Interesting. That's a really interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. So let's talk about FLAUNT. What does that mean?
FLAUNT is actually an acronym, yes. And it stands for F is find your fetish, L is laugh out loud, AU is the golden center because that's the atomic symbol for gold, and that's accept unconditionally. N is navigate the negative, and T is trust in your truth.
And are these the five simple steps that help people change everyone's lives?
Yes, absolutely. These are the five steps that I encourage women to walk through in every area of their life, whether they're experiencing transition or dissatisfaction or frustration, or if they're just not feeling good, to take themselves through these five steps.
Awesome, awesome. So let's look at each one in a little bit more detail. Let's start with the F.
Okay, F is find your fetish. When we are kids, we play for the sake of playing. We don't play to accomplish a goal. Yet once we grow up, every single thing we do is goal-oriented. Even if it's self-care. Oh, I'm getting a massage because it's good for me. I'm taking a vacation because I need a break. F, find your fetish, is all about doing what you love for the sake of doing it, not to accomplish anything, not to get your self-care in, not to get your exercise in, but doing what you love. And you know, sometimes it's hard to figure out what it is we love, but it's so worth it.
Absolutely. I think it's, if we can really tune into that piece of what we love, what do you love in your life? What's your fetish?
I have several. I love dancing, as you might suspect.
Exactly.
But just some of the free form, turning on the music, just letting it move me and go. I also just love exploring, being in the mountains, maybe not taking a trail, just pulling off when I see something, going out on a hike. I love that complete unstructured being in nature.
We share that. We definitely share that one. The next one is laugh out loud. And I love this one. You know, I often talk about living out loud. So there's some synergies with that. And the laughter is beautiful because it's when we laugh, we feel so much energy that flows through us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your laugh out loud?
What I wanted to say with laugh out loud is the physiological aspects of laughter are very similar to the physiological aspects of crying. And what I like to tell my people is you can either laugh and release that stuff physically, or you can have a sobbing, crying breakdown and release it physically. And both are good, but the more generous we are with our laughter, the more we just let that stuff release out of our bodies. And for me, yes, I love looking at funny memes or cat videos or whatever. That's fine. But for me, I like to notice what's funny in my environment. I love, like I said, burlesque is about parody. I love looking for things that are just ironic and funny. And especially with some of the stuff that goes on with current events or politics, I love looking at the irony of it and looking at things that are hypocritical and not being like, oh, that's awful, but laughing about it and being like, that's hysterical if you really think about it, because it is.
I think that's important. It just brings a different lightness to our life.
Yes.
Yeah. So accept unconditionally. What does that one mean?
Oh, that's a big one, because we have to accept ourselves unconditionally, but we also have to accept everyone and everything around us unconditionally. And what I mean by that, here's a great example. How many of us have a difficult person in our life? And how many of us will always think that person is going to be different the next time we interact with them? They're not going to be.
Right.
But we create these stories in our head. Oh, if I only do this, then they're going to. And oh, if I can do this, and maybe they're going to learn, and I'm going to give them this book, and I won't serve alcohol at that next event, and I'm going to wear this thing that they like. And we jump through so many hoops in our own heads. And then
and all the stories that go along with that.
Yes.
And the energy.
Oh, yes. And the wasted energy.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not saying that we can't help somebody else. You know, we might have somebody who's an alcoholic in our life. We need to accept that unconditionally. There are things we could do to offer support, but we can't change them.
That's so true. That's a good one. And then the N is navigate the negative.
Yes. We get so caught up in the whole fairy tale think that our lives are supposed to be good and that we're supposed to have everything wonderful that happens. And that when we're on the right path, everything opens up and it's perfect. And the truth is, life happens all the time. And there's a lot of things that happen that aren't positive and they're not negative. They're just things that happen. And it's our perception of whether they're negative or positive that makes them negative or positive. And when we think about shift our perspective to one of navigation instead of to one of like, oh, it's a problem, it's a roadblock, it makes it so much easier to get through and to move around.
Yeah, there's movement in that.
Yes, because like with navigating a ship, we don't set sail, you know, from Europe and sail to America in a straight line. We right. just don't.
Right. Right. So that's navigate the negative. And then the last one is trust your truth.
Yes. None of us have the same truth. We can have similar truths. We can have similar beliefs. And we have this human drive for connection. And that's wonderful to a certain extent. We need to please ourselves. We have to set our own standards, whether those standards are in fitness, beauty, career, family, whatever it is. Most of us, especially extraordinary women who are high achievers, are really good at reaching other people's goals. You need to do this to get a degree. Oh, I can do that. You need to do this in order to get a raise. Oh, I can do that. You need to do this in order to take on this case. Oh, I can do that. But where the magic is where we are setting our own goals and achieving our own goals and finding our satisfaction based on what it is we want, not what somebody else wants.
Yeah. So what is your truth?
Oh, I have several of those truths. That's a phenomenal question. My truth is that I am an extremely positive, over-enthusiastic person.
Oh, I love it.
Who can also go really, really deep and hold space in a really powerful way for anybody who is willing to go there with me.
Right. That's awesome. That's totally awesome. And what is your why for writing your book, Flaunt?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. Women historically have been kind of in that underdog position. You know, we were property, we didn't have inheritance rights, we couldn't vote, we, you know, couldn't go to school, blah, 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 blah. Everybody knows that. I feel like in the past, when we were in that underdog position, we did better at binding together. We had midwives, we had, you know, the red tent, we had ceremonies between women, among women. We prepped our sisters for marriage. We were there in childbirth. We were there in death. We had this support system. Once we started getting rights, which was an amazing thing, which was a really good thing, that collective sisterhood kind of fell apart. And worse, there were women that climbed over other women's heads in order to get a better view, in order to get a bigger piece of the pie. And my why for writing this book is to wake women up to the fact that we are still that tribe of women, and the most support we can get from anyone is from another woman. And we need to quit judging each other, because only when we quit judging each other, only when we create, you know, the good old, instead of the good old boys network, the good old girls network, only when we have that sisterhood back, will we all rise together. And that is my why, is bringing that sisterhood together in a really powerful, strong way where we can look at the world and be like, you do not judge my sister, and I will stand right by her no matter what.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I'm so, I love everything that you've just said there. I mean, it just, it means that, that being able to support one another, to collaborate one another, to lift each other up, it's just such an important value of my own. Yeah. And, you know, it's so time for women to really step into that, that type of a sisterhood where, and you know, I love that you take it back to, you know, ancient times. You take it back to the red tent. You take it back to the circles of women that have existed in indigenous cultures. And there is this rising together energy that is happening around the world. And so it's very timely that your book's coming out.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
You should be. You should be. I'm excited to read it. So it's coming out November 5th.
Yes.
And where will people be able to get the book?
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, Tattered Cover if you're local. Just all the different booksellers. Target, awesome. Even on Target.
Awesome. That's totally awesome. And where can people learn more about you and your work?
They can go to my website, and that's Laura Cheadle, and that's spelled LoraCheadle.com. And they can also find me across all social media.
Awesome. Awesome. So the final question I always close with is, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
You know, I think the most important one is that we have to do it ourselves, whatever it is. We will not be rescued. We are not Cinderella. And it's up to us to do whatever it is that we want to do. Mm-hmm. And no, we don't have to do it alone, but we do have to be the ones that start the ball rolling.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
And I think my second pearl of wisdom is that life is supposed to be fun, and it's meant to be fun, and that fun comes from our attitude, not from our situation or from our surroundings.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. And I think my last pearl of wisdom, of course, it has to relate to dance, that it's really important to choreograph our life and to rehearse and to practice and to be prepared, but to never remember that the, or never forget that the unexpected will always happen, and always remember that we need to improvise and that improvising is fine too.
Right. And to be just in that moment, improvising and adjusting and changing the movement to whatever is calling to us.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Well, Laura, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate your time, and I'm excited to get your book flaunt and share it with my listeners. And thank you so much for all the beautiful work that you're doing that is so timely in our world.
Oh, thank you so much, Cami, and right back at you for all of the work that you're doing. I think together we can absolutely lift up all of the women in the world, which will in turn lift up the entire population of the world.
I say yes to that. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to visit me at CamiGellner.com to find out how you can make heartfelt connections to mindful strategies to ignite an abundant flow of cash and clients into your business. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.